And often it's men who don't really understand why I focus on women or attracting women. And I think one thing is definitely that I talk to a lot of women who just don't have confidence. They are scared of being visible. They're scared of being judged. And I think it's just something that as women, even as little girls, like we're supposed to, it's different in different countries, but we're not supposed to like be too loud. We're not supposed to outshine other people. And so we're like raised to kind of hold back. And so I think women often need that push and need also the support and the community to feel like I can do this. And it's been really amazing to see how, like in my student community, I've been able to create that. And there's so much support and so many women cheering each other on.
I'm Julie Bullitt. I've been a family therapist for over 30 years.
I'm David Bullitt. I've been a divorce and family lawyer for more than 35 years.
Together, we have been married for more than 37 years.
In our professional practices, the two of us have been witnesses to individuals and families struggling with life's most difficult challenges. In this podcast, we will talk about the conversations we have had,
the conversations we should have had,
and those that every relationship needs to have in order to find success, happiness, and fulfillment.
This is Conversations for Couples,
the podcast. Welcome to Conversations for Couples,
the podcast.
And we are worldwide today. Our guest is coming to us from Portugal, Lisbon, Portugal. And she has such an interesting story that I chased her down to get her on our show. Just a little bit of background. She and her then boyfriend and a third person built what was then the number one restaurant in Buenos Aires, Argentina. The success financially came and from a business standpoint came, but it came at, I guess, at the risk of their relationship. And so that relationship ultimately ended. But Carla Biesinger turned her life around, and she reinvented herself as a business mentor and online course creator. Carla helps women build profitable businesses. She focuses on Instagram and email marketing, and over the last several years has helped 10,000 clients worldwide build their business. So I am really excited to welcome you, Carla, to our show today.
Thank you so much. I'm super happy to be here.
Yeah, it's really first of all, always cool to talk to people around the world, which we've done a fair amount in the last couple of years, but never anyone from Portugal. So it's a new for us.
Yeah.
Happy
to. And how we knew of you was I enrolled in one of your courses and really enjoyed it and got a lot out of it. So I sort of had my eye on you. And then when David saw one of your posts about the relationship and rebuilding, we thought, wow, this is a really cool topic to talk about on our podcast. So here we are.
Yeah. So let's roll back a decade or more ago when you are in Buenos Aires with your then boyfriend and a third person, and you start this business. Tell us a little bit about how the business got started and then what happened.
Yeah. So I went to Buenos Aires after I finished university, and I really just wanted to travel and learn Spanish. So I enrolled in a Spanish course, and in the class, there was only two people. The other person was my ex. So we literally were taking Spanish classes together every day and fell in love. And I extended my stay in Buenos Aires and tried to look for a job, but no one wanted to hire me. And he was just starting to host these dinner parties together with his best friend, who is a chef, at his home. And he used to be a tour guide through South America. So he was getting groups of people come through his connections. And he basically, it was like, okay, I guess no one wants to hire me. So I probably have to leave Argentina because I need to live off something. And he basically offered me a job and said, I think we could use a efficient German in the team. Mm-hmm. And I was super in love at the time and just loved the idea as well of staying in Argentina. So I said yes. And basically for the first year and a half, we were living together, the three of us, hosting dinner parties for tourists in our apartment. It's kind of a common concept in Argentina. Oh. It's called a closed door restaurant, where you literally just invite people into your home. Everyone pays in cash, and you literally just wine and dine them. And it was definitely one of the best times in my life. It was just so fun building something together, and we made it to number one on TripAdvisor within a few months. So we were getting a lot of business and just having, like, meeting amazing people, drinking wine with them every night, and just giving them a really cool experience. And then my ex had the idea or the vision of taking it to another level and started looking for an investor. And we found someone who at the time was Argentina's number one poker player. So he didn't have any idea about business. Neither did we, really, because we were just kind of, you know, inviting people for dinner parties, but we didn't know how to run a team or how to run a business. And so he basically gave us $150,000 for, I think it was 40% of the company. And we found this restaurant that was in the top location in Buenos Aires, spent most of the money on renovating it, and then moved in the middle of low season, and basically didn't realize that our costs would go up so much, because we now had to pay rent, we had to pay staff, we hired way too many people because we thought we were just going to get so much business. And then the next 2 years were really difficult because, one, we didn't make enough money to pay the bills. So for 6 months, we didn't take a salary, and we were literally just eating fried rice and steak. It was good steak because we had a steak restaurant, so we were eating leftovers. And drinking wine still, so that was also good. But basically, we're just struggling so much to get this business off the ground. And in the end, it's a long story, but in the end, I ended up leaving. And he stayed to take care of the business. We tried long distance for a while, but it didn't work, and I just knew that I didn't want to go back to Argentina. So in the end, we broke up, and I actually took a job. I was 29, I think, at the time. I took a job working for a friend in Mexico because I just didn't know what I wanted to do. I knew I didn't want to go back to Germany. And then kind of after 5 months of working for him, realized I didn't enjoy working for someone else, and then came up with the idea of starting my own business. So yeah, it was a really fun experience building something together, but then there was just too many hurdles and too many problems and too many people involved as well. You know, we had the investor, we had a huge team, and it just was too much.
So it sounds like that's the stress of that business certainly had an impact on your relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Do you think that if you hadn't gone into business with him and you just had a relationship, that things would have been different?
I think in the end, so it's interesting because we actually got back together after 5 years of like being apart. And at that time, I already had a really successful business, and he also had a new business that was doing really well. And it just didn't work. Like, I think we're friends now, but we're just not compatible in that way. We're too different in too many ways, I think. So in the end, I don't think it necessarily would have worked out regardless.
Yeah. Well, that kind of makes me feel better because initially I was thinking, wow, if they, you know, had more boundaries and different interests, the relationship might have worked. So that actually makes me so happy that you went back and tried it again and really, you know, came through with it. This, you know, you guys are not meant to be with each other. So tell us how you sort of like rebuild yourself and branded yourself as, you know, the, you know, social media businesswoman that you are.
Yeah. So initially, my idea was really just to make a living without needing to have a team, without needing to have an investor, and without being stuck in one place. So my vision was always to be able to travel and have that kind of freedom. And I basically started taking online courses because I wanted to learn how to sell something online, because I figured that would give me the freedom and the flexibility. And this was in 2015, 2016, and there wasn't really a lot of online courses out there, or a lot of people teaching social media. And my background is in marketing. I was kind of responsible for business development and marketing in the restaurant. So I kind of figured this is something that I have a skill set in. Because of my background in the restaurant, my idea initially was to teach food entrepreneurs how to use social media to get clients and grow their audience. And I basically started posting on Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook, Twitter. And within 6 months, my Instagram account grew to 10,000 followers just organically. And I was talking to food bloggers and food photographers and chefs. And I realized that a lot of them really didn't know how to use Instagram or how to grow on Instagram. So that's kind of when I had my first pivot and my first aha moment that maybe I can just create a course about Instagram. And that's literally what I've been doing ever since. And then as I kind of started to make more money, I had my second kind of aha moment where I realized when I was in my relationship with the guy in Argentina, we were like completely, I was depending on him financially, right? And then when I left and he eventually sold the business about 10 months after we broke up, and he did not make a good deal, and I got $12,000 for the 5 years that I had spent building this business, I had that moment where I was like, I will never depend on a man financially again. And as I started growing my business and talking to more women, I realized that there's so many women out there who were financially depending on their husbands, who needed their husband's permission to invest in their own business. And, you know, my course at the time was like $300. And I had women who were not allowed from their husband to invest $300 into their own business so they could create an income. And so this mission of mine to really help women get financially independent and create wealth has just grown so much in the process as well. And it's something that I feel super passionate about.
What do you think is unique? I mean, aside from obviously some folks out there, they need to ask their spouse for money. But what do you think is unique in terms of supporting and promoting and building a women's-based business?
It's interesting because I just gave a talk and there were some men there as well. And often it's men who don't really understand why I focus on women. Or attracting women. And I think one thing is definitely that I talk to a lot of women who just don't have confidence. They are scared of being visible. They're scared of being judged. And I think it's just something that as women, you know, even as little girls, like we're supposed to, it's different in different countries, but we're not supposed to like be too loud. We're not supposed to outshine other people. And so we're like, raised to kind of hold back. Mm-hmm. And so I think women often need that push and need also the support and the community to feel like I can do this. And it's been really amazing to see how, like, in my student community, I've been able to create that. And there's so much support and so many women cheering each other on. And I think often, like, some men obviously also may struggle with confidence, visibility, etc. Sure. But I've just found that it's a really common thing amongst women. And it's a really beautiful thing when women support other women.
Yeah, I agree with you, Carla. Like, you know, just in as a therapist, you know, working with, you know, people in my office, I do see a lot of women that are just not very confident and that feel like they just, you know, are too afraid to try things. Yeah. So I love that you're, you know, working with women to do that. And I also, you know, with my own daughters, we have four daughters. I've always talked to my daughters about it's a good thing to like compliment other women. And there's a lot of women out there that won't do that because they have, like, I call it a scarcity mindset, where if I say I like your hair or I like your outfit or I like what you're doing, that means that I might not have that. And I think that's sort of where some of that comes from. So I talk to like my granddaughter and my daughters about the importance of supporting women and making other women feel good.
I love that.
Yeah. So let me ask you this without you giving away too many of your secrets for free, you know, on this episode. So a woman contacts you, or I take it you have some male clients as well, somewhere amongst the 10,000 plus. but let's stick with your niche for a second. A woman contacts you. It doesn't even matter what the business is. What's sort of the launching point? What kind of information do you try to find out? And then how do you strategically work with that person? Now, I understand it may be different from one business to the next, but just to give folks a sense of how the process works.
Like the process for growing on Instagram? Or?
Yeah, or even the process for, you know, let me give you a simple example, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say, you know, I contact you. I've got a business selling books. Pick whatever. I've got a business. Everybody loves my books, but I can't get them out there. I've got three books that have gotten great reviews that people love, but I can't get them sold. You know, they're sitting on Amazon and I put some things up on Instagram and I talk about my books and, you know, but I can't seem to get my business off the ground. And I've got some money to invest, you know, not a fortune, but some to try.
My husband said I could spend $500.
She didn't ask and she didn't need to.
No, I didn't ask.
No, you're talking to a very independent soul right there. She'd be just fine. Aside from having to find somebody else to go out on Saturday nights with, but yeah. So what do you do with that person? I know it's generic and I know everybody might be different, but give us a sense.
Got it. Yeah. So obviously the first question is always, is your audience on Instagram, right? In most cases, that is the case. There's some people who may be better off on LinkedIn because they're talking to more corporate clients, but that's the first question. Does your audience hang out on Instagram? Then the second thing that I think is really important is people buy from people they know, like, and trust. Right. So if I'm an author and I'm just sharing about my book, that can work. But typically people find it super interesting to learn more about the person behind the book. Right. So I have a lot of clients who are basically using Instagram to build a personal brand. Even product-based businesses, we're seeing a big shift there now where people actually, like founders, are sharing about their journey of getting their jewelry product created. And that's the kind of stuff that gets people really invested and interested, because they're not just buying a necklace. Like, obviously they have to like it, but they're also buying into the company. So basically sharing things and using your content to build know, like, and trust. And then obviously inviting people to take a next step. And you can definitely sell on Instagram. I always recommend to use Instagram stories over feed posts, because just the way the algorithm works, they see that you're promoting something and they often lower the reach because they want you to spend money on ads. So in your stories, that doesn't seem to happen as much. And the people who watch your stories are kind of your number one fans, because they're already invested. They're seeing like what you're doing throughout the day and they feel like they know you. And so when you sell in your stories, it's often easier to create a conversion. But then the second step is definitely also getting people onto an email list. So kind of using Instagram as a way to get yourself out there, get yourself in front of your audience, build that know, like, and trust, but then have another platform like email so you can continue to market to your people. Because with email, you're not relying on an algorithm, right? Everyone looks at their inbox multiple times a day, usually. And so it's just another way to market to people. It's a different channel, right? You're doing mm-hmm. less of that behind the scenes and sharing personal things, although you can include a little bit of that in your emails. But basically, yeah, thinking about, okay, who is my audience? How can I get in front of them? What kind of content can I create that will get them hooked and wanting to consume more? And then thinking about how can I invite them to take a next step?
Yeah. And what do you do with people, you know, namely women or people that are your clients that are not very salesy, that, you know, because that's the thing, like David and I really struggle with that. Like, we both love what we do professionally and we love the Instagram and stuff, but we're just not salespeople.
We're not using this to get free advice.
Yeah, we're not using it, but I think that's a common problem. Yeah. And I'm sure you hear it all the time. So what do you tell people?
Yeah. And I'm not a super salesy person either. Mm-hmm. The two things that I have figured out that work for me, and I do think every business owner is different and people have different strengths and there's different ways of selling. What I like to do is I have a webinar where I basically give a lot of value. And then in the end, I pitch my course. Mm-hmm. So it's about 45 minutes of just value, sharing Instagram strategies. It's free.
I took it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I loved it. And I bought a course after that.
Yeah, so people can get to know me. They can get to know my teaching style, my process as well. And then the last 15 minutes or so is the pitch. Mm-hmm. And I did have to overcome my own issues of like pitching and, you know, afraid of being salesy. But I always say, like, you give so much value for free that you earn the right to make an invitation.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It is like it's something that you practice and it's a skill that you learn. And then the other way that I like to sell is also through email, because I can just write the email. I don't have to show my face. I don't have to like stumble over my own words, and I just send it out. And obviously there's ways to increase or include some urgency to say like, okay, the price right now is X and then it will go up in 2 days or whatever. So there's other strategies you can use. But yeah, those are the two things that have worked really well for me and that don't feel like salesy or kind of icky. Yeah.
And for some, let's stick with our person who's selling books, right? And that person says to you, you know, I'm on Instagram, you know, I've got 2,000 people, followers. I follow all my friends follow me, you know, but there's a bazillion people selling books. You know, how am I going to make any money on Instagram? And, you know, is there a way to talk to them or about how they might differentiate themselves from the other folks that are out there? Or what advice do you give them, that person who makes that comment to you?
Of course. So, I mean, first of all, you need to understand, again, how to find your people on Instagram. So especially, for example, let's take books. There's a whole community of bookstagrammers, right? So you can go through certain hashtags. You can go and look for other authors in your kind of genre and find people that way and connect with them. And then there's, I think, two ways in how you can build relationships on Instagram. One is by creating content that speaks to that ideal follower, but then also to kind of take the initiative and start connecting with people who look like they're your ideal followers or your ideal clients, right? So replying to people's stories, starting DM conversations, not with the goal of I have to sell something immediately, but really like, as it, like same with networking. And I think sometimes people forget that people go on social media to be social. And just because there's a screen doesn't mean that there's a human on the other side, right? Mm-hmm. So if you went to a networking event, and people do that, it's crazy to me, but when you go to a networking event, you meet someone, you're not immediately going to say like, hi, my name is so-and-so. Do you want to become my client? Right? So you'd start a conversation, you like see if there's anything you can connect over. And then eventually that can lead to a sale. So it's the same on Instagram. And I think people forget or maybe expect that by just creating content, you're immediately creating customers. And they forget that maybe it's on you to start the conversation, to start building the relationship, and to then kind of take it from there.
Yeah. So there was something that you said that was sort of very interesting to me. And I think, so you have a product and you think people will come, right? So like we've written books, and that concept of we have these books. Well, the hard part is getting people to write books. I mean, to buy the books. But I'm also thinking that it works a lot like that in relationships too. Like, okay, I'm in a relationship. Okay, good. Now I can just wear pajamas all day and I don't have to do the work. So sort of this concept of like, you never really have it's not really done. It's always going to be a little bit more work and a little bit more work. And that's what I hear you saying with, you know, being successful in Instagram. It's you have to really think about, like, you didn't just create a beautiful necklace and now people are going to buy it. It's like you have to go through the process of networking, getting people interested.
Yeah. And then obviously you do have to make offers, like, if you want to sell, right? So I worked with a cookbook author once, and we just kind of came up with different opportunities. So for example, I don't know, for you guys, it's Valentine's Day coming up. So you can, something that worked really well for her was she was doing bundles. So she had like special sales prices, because typically, like in your case, for example, everyone knows people who are in relationships, right? And it doesn't mean that you need to have a bad relationship or in order to want to improve your relationship, right? So a gift to, like, I could think of 5 people that I could gift a relationship advice book to, for example. So thinking about different opportunities, so these could be events, right? There's Valentine's Day, there's Women's Day, there's all kinds of days, or just different promotions, to just give people an opportunity to buy. And then always combining it with that urgency, so that, because that's just human nature. People wait till the last minute. When I do a launch, I make most of my sales on the last day. And often I have people buying like in the last 30 minutes before the doors close.
Right.
What I'm hearing is a reference to what is our sort of our word of the year this year, and that's intentionality. And what I'm hearing, you know, Julie made a good point, which there is a connection, or there's a metaphor to be had there with what you're teaching people to do in terms of business and what people need to do, you know, in our world, which is in their relationships. You don't just build it and expect them to come, like that movie, Field of Dreams, I think it was.
Yeah.
You know, you really have to keep at it. And it sounds to me like that's not so easy for folks. And you've got to, and from your perspective, it sounds to me like you're really leaning in on that type of approach. You got to keep at it and be intentional about it. Both in terms of developing the relationship, right? And in terms of selling.
And I mean, I totally was in the same place when I started. That's why I didn't really make any money in the first 2 years, because I never sold anything. There's also other ways, right? You can run ads and you can automate that process a little bit for you as well. Once you've kind of understood how the funnel works and how you can get people to buy, you can automate that and you can also scale it that way. But definitely, I think that's unfortunately one of the biggest issues. If you don't sell, like, it's difficult to make sales. So I think figuring out what way of selling works for you and then just focusing on that. And then once that works, not being afraid of, you know, scaling it through doing ads and investing in that.
Yeah.
So Carla, are you in a relationship now?
I am, yeah.
All right. And is the person live near you in Lisbon or somewhere else?
Yeah. We don't live together. He lives here. I like living by myself. It's something we've been together for 3 years and we've done, you know, holidays together, et cetera. But I don't know. I was single for a really long time after Argentina, and I really realized that I need a lot of space. So it works really well. He also has 2 kids. So I'm a bonus mom, which is cool. But it's just another layer where I'm like, I love kind of meeting up and creating, like, putting in a lot of effort also to see each other. And then I also love being in my own energy, in my own space. So it's new because I haven't been in a serious relationship since Argentina, basically.
Yeah.
Well, you're smiling a lot, so it must still be good.
Yeah.
And we, of course, wish you the best of luck in that relationship. We wish you the best of luck in your business.
Yes.
If folks want to reach out to you and get some more information about your classes, your webinar, that sort of thing, what's the best way for them to do that?
So definitely on Instagram, I look at all of my DMs myself. So if you want to send me a message on Instagram and let me know that you have me on the podcast, I always love that. And then I'll definitely also reply. And I can also share the link. It's actually in my bio in Instagram for the free webinar if anyone is interested.
And folks, all the information, Carla's information, her bio, her Instagram link, and her website is found in the show notes to this episode. So
yes.
Do you want to say something?
Well, I can just attest to Carla has great information. She's real. She's, you know, approachable. She's available. So if you are in this area and you want some more information, I do highly recommend getting in touch with Carla.
Carla, it's been awesome having you. And we know you're 5 hours ahead of where we are. So maybe it's time for you to get some rest, get some dinner. You've been terrific. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much. Thanks
you for are having- welcome. And folks, this is Conversations for Couples,
the podcast.
Julie Bullitt is a professionally licensed clinical social worker and family therapist. David Bullitt is a divorce and family lawyer. Julie is not your therapist, and David is not your lawyer. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only.